will increase your efficiency 20% if you learn to do the tough things first, the ones you don't want to do.
Ray Zinn now imparts his management philosophy in Tough Things First. In this series, Zinn covers it all, from the essence of human happiness.
If you're going to make it a consistent practice of working Saturdays just because you think you've got to work 80 hours a week to be successful, you're just flat out wrong.
To the downside of venture capital.
People said, well, don't sweat the small things. Well, I guarantee if you don't sweat the small things, the big things are going to become a mess.
And the essence of entrepreneurial discipline.
Don't want to wait until you jump off the cliff to grab a parachute.
Now here's Ray Zinn, Silicon Valley's longest serving CEO.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another in a series of podcasts regarding the history of Silicon Valley. This is Ray Zinn, and I'm the author of Tough Things First, and also, one of the founding boys of Silicon Valley. I started in semiconductors back in 1963, which was just 7 years or 6 years after the industry actually started. Delighted to be with you today. To have this in the next series of podcasts on the history of the Valley. And with me is my good friend and buddy, Pete Marchetti. Pete is an investment advisor and counselor, banker, as you would. And he's very interested in semiconductors and in Silicon Valley and its history. So welcome, Pete.
Thanks for having me again, Ray. Looking forward to learning a little bit more about the Valley and all the things that have happened over the last 60 years.
Yeah, so you had some questions when we ended the last podcast on Silicon Valley. So why don't you start out with what some of your questions you have?
Yeah, well, on the last podcast, we kind of ended it with you talking about this massive influx of people from all over the world moving to the Valley to fill up all the positions that were needed from all the companies that were starting up in the semi space in particular. And it got me thinking about anytime you have that type of mass migration into an area, that it's going to change the area quite a bit. And when you have people from all over the world bringing different cultures and different foods and different ways of operating, like that can be pretty interesting. And I was just really curious on how, like, what were some of the things that you kind of witnessed being here in terms of that evolution that was caused from all these people from all over the place coming here?
Okay. Well, I can do that, Pete. So again, time frame wise, we're talking about the kind of the early days, late 60s, early 70s in Silicon Valley. Again, it was very dynamic. Lots of venture capital started up. A lot of very big venture capital firms. We call them VCs. Page Mill, Sand Hill Road, and on Page Mill Road, and Palo Alto and Menlo Park really began to take off. Very large amounts of money were pouring into the Valley. Huge amounts of money. I mean, everybody wanted to get on the semiconductor, bandwagon. The Silicon Valley, as you would, golden goose, and so they were all, tons of money was pouring in from all over the place. I mean, from Europe and Asia. You had a huge amount of influx of money. And so with that available, a lot of guys wanted to start these companies. I mean, you had startups happening almost daily. And so the cultural change, of course, with people coming from Asia and from Europe, these and from Canada and Mexico and all these different other countries, you had all this influx of, India. The type of foods, just the whole ambiance was multinational. I mean, that's one of the things that I think spurred the growth of Silicon Valley was how multinational it was and how it multicultural. I mean, you talk about the rainbow generation. It was just huge with all these different countries, people pouring in, people having to learn different languages. And it was just interesting that how the Valley became so multinational, and people had to learn to get along. I mean, they were neighbors with people they hadn't known before, and so the schools, of course, now became more multinational. And it was quite interesting to see the transformation that was taking place in the restaurants, you know, all the different kinds of restaurants that were out there, the different kinds of foods, the different languages.
Did you see a change in kind of corporate culture as well because of that? I mean, were people bringing in ideas and, you know, kind of ways of operating into the business environment from other parts of the world?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, you had people from Israel. Israel became a big factor, by the way, in semiconductors in about that same time frame. So Israel, again, being a very techie country. And yes, absolutely. You know, it was, you could see a real a change in the kind of culture. Because if you look at the types of cultures, you know, the Jewish culture versus the Chinese culture, the Buddhist culture, and all these different religious type impacts coming in. Just, you know, you had to be ahead of a very flexible, and the Philippines is another one. The Philippines became quite an important group of people that were migrating into the country, and the Vietnamese, because of the Vietnam War, you know, allowing the repatriation of people from Vietnam. Also, you had a lot of the people from the Philippines coming because of their, you know, Second World War. We allowed a lot of repatriations from the people from the Philippines. So, you know, the Valley became probably the most diverse area in the entire world. I mean, if you want to look at a microcosm or a kind of a United Nations of the world, it was in Silicon Valley. I don't know of a single culture that didn't exist in the Valley.
Well, it's amazing too, because you think mostly at that time, any diversity that you found in this country was probably heavily centered on urban areas. And now all of a sudden you have a very suburban area, and in some ways a rural area, certain parts on the edges of the Valley. And now you have all this diversity coming in and bringing in ideas and cultures from all over the world. I mean, it's unprecedented.
Well, we know from experience that that diversity does breed a stronger culture. So you know, if you're so inbred, if you don't have any outside influence, you know you don't change anything. You know, change is what makes things move. You know, if you don't change, you're stagnant. As I say, if you don't progress, you're retrogress. And so with all these different cultures that were now be commingling in Silicon Valley, you know, you had a breakup of all that inbreeding that was taking place, you know, whether it be, you know, from, you know, inbreeding because of the military, you know, focus on its needs for technology, to products that were more consumer related. And so it became a positive aspect, having all these different cultures move in, because it did kind of stop this inbreeding that normally takes place without this multinational cultural mixing.
Right. Well, and you mentioned the change, and this was obviously just a transition a little bit in the conversation, but this was a big change period for you as well in terms of what you were doing and going from an employee. And then just like all these other companies are talking about, this is about the time when you were branching out on your own to make a change.
So let's save that for our next podcast. We'll talk about that, how that happened, and just some of the other things that I think will be interesting to our audience. So again, thanks, Pete, for helping us through this podcast today, and we look forward to getting together for our next one. So this is Ray Zinn. I'm the author of Tough Things First. You can find my book at Amazon or one of your favorite other book retailers. My new book, Zinn is Zen, and I hope to talk to you next time.
You've been listening to Tough Things First, candid talk with Silicon Valley's longest-serving CEO, Ray Zinn. Drop by the contact page at toughthingsfirst.com For more about the book, more podcasts, and links to Ray's Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn pages to keep up with Ray Zinn's wisdom daily.